You know, I've said that there are only four fundamental philosophical questions. The first is, who started it? The second is, are we going to make it? The third is, where are we going to put it? And the fourth is, who's going to clean up? I happen to be a lover of archery. But I don't like archery for killing things. I like it as a sport. But what I like most of all is to set an arrow free, like it were a bird. You know, when it gets far up in the sky, whee! You watch it. And it suddenly turns and drops. What is it that fascinates us about that? Because it's not useful. It doesn't really achieve anything that we would call purposive work. It simply is what we call play. But in our culture, we make an extremely rigid division between work and play. You're supposed to work in order to earn enough money to give you sufficient leisure time for something entirely different called having fun or play. And this is the most ridiculous division of things, because everything that we do, however tough it is, however strenuous, can be turned into the same kind of play as I was showing you when I was completely fascinated with spinning that orange around my head. Let's, for example, take the situation that I ran into a little while ago. I was in the New York subway at 59th Street near Columbus Circle. And I wanted to get my shoes shined. And here was this black fellow who was making shoe shining a real art. He got his cloth, you know, which you spread out like this, and was going over my shoe. Like that, see? He was dancing while he was working. And he had just the same fascination in shining shoes as one has spinning this thing around one's head. Imagine, too, if he were a bus driver. Bus driver is ordinarily considered an absolutely harassed person. He's got to watch out for all the laws, all the competing traffic, the cops, the people coming on board giving their fares, and he has to give them change. And if he has it in his head that this is work, it will be hell. But let's suppose he has a different thing in his head. Supposing he has the idea that moving this enormous conveyance through complicated traffic is a very, very subtle game. And he has the same feeling about it that you might have if you were playing the guitar or dancing. And so he goes through that traffic, avoiding this and avoiding that and taking a fare like this, and he makes a music of the whole thing. Well, he's not going to be tired out at the end of the day. He's going to be full of energy when he gets through his job. Or suppose you're condemned to be a housewife, which is the most lowly of all occupations, and you have to clean up. You know, I've said that there are only four fundamental philosophical questions. The first is, who started it? The second is, are we going to make it? The third is, where are we going to put it? And the fourth is, who's going to clean up? And this is the lowliest of all occupations, the housewife who washes the dishes and the garbage collector who takes away the stuff. And he has to find out where we're going to put it. So now, who's going to clean up? Incidentally, if you ask yourself these four questions in order, who started it? Are we going to make it? Where are we going to put it? And who's going to clean up? It prompts a fifth question, which is it serious? Like, doctor, is it serious? Well, supposing it isn't. And then the housewife, who's going to clean up, approaches washing dishes in an entirely different spirit. And don't think that I'm some sort of male chauvinist who's trying to talk women into the idea of staying in their place. Because I'm perfectly willing to wash dishes too, because the art of washing dishes is that you only have to wash one at a time. If you're doing it day after day, you have in your mind's eye an enormous stack of filthy dishes which you have washed up in years past, and an enormous stack of filthy dishes which you will wash up in years future. But if you bring in your mind to the state of reality, which is, as I've pointed out to you, only now, this is where we are. There is only now. You only have to wash one dish. It's the only dish you'll ever have to wash, this one. You ignore all the rest, because in reality, there is no past and there is no future. There is just now. So you wash this one. And instead of thinking, have I got it really clean, as my mother taught me with an angry voice, that I had to get every little scrap off it, you know, and she got angry at you. Instead, you turn the cleaning movement into a dance. Like this. And you dig that. And you swing that plate around. And you let the rinsing water go over it. And you put it off in the rack. Crazy. See? Take the next one. And you get this rhythm going. See? And you're not under compulsion all the time. You know, when I was a little boy and went to school in England, I had to learn the piano. They called it playing the piano, but actually, they said you must play. We had in England compulsory games. They used to post notices on the bulletin board in the school where I went to, which said, this afternoon, everyone will go for a run. And if you didn't go for a run, and it was found out that you hadn't, you were flogged. So everybody hated going for a run, because they were under compulsion to play. Everybody must play. It's like the whole game of life we're all involved in. It's only a game, but everybody has got to belong. So we went running. I remember one day I was out on a run, and I was trying to enjoy myself because I was running on the balls of my feet, dancing along. And a fellow came up behind me who was running on his heels. He was jogging. And he was going clump, 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 clump. And I said to him, what's the matter with you? You're running on your heels and you're jarring your whole body all the way through. Okay, but he stuck to it and he became the champion long distance runner of the school. But he didn't enjoy it, it was work. And all he enjoyed was the suffering that he endured that made him feel that he had really contributed to the human race because he suffered so much. He identified his existence and his worth with his suffering. Really great runners dance when they run. They don't necessarily follow a straight course. They may weave. And in the same way, if you happen to witness in the year 1970, the World Cup Championship in soccer, you would have seen that the winning team from Brazil played soccer in a most extraordinary way. They played it like basketball. They played it dancing. The way we learned soccer in school when I was a boy was very, very formal and orderly, and we didn't really enjoy it. But these fellows were bouncing balls off their shoulders, off every muscle, and they had astonishing teamwork. But at the same time, dancing the game, and the sports writer in the London Times said that they danced their way to victory. So the point is, therefore, that you can do everything you have to do in this spirit. Don't make a distinction between work and play. Regard everything that you're doing as play, and don't imagine for one minute that you've got to be serious. See, this is the real secret of life. To be completely engaged with what you're doing in the here and now. Instead of calling it work, realize that this is play. In Hindu philosophy, the whole creation is regarded as the Vishnu Leela. That means the play of Vishnu. Leela means dance or play, and from it we get our word lilt. They also, in Hindu philosophy, call the world an illusion. And in Latin, the root of the word illusion is ludere, to play. Because all this going on, the swinging of the ball, the pattern in which the flower goes, is just to swing. And if you take it seriously and say, are you doing anything useful? Useful for what? Useful to go on. But if you take that attitude to going on becomes a drag. Survival becomes a sweat, and it's not worth it. And if you teach your children, and they'll imitate you, they'll treat survival as a sweat which they have to undergo, they have to keep going on, and they'll teach their children to do it, and the whole continuation of the human race will be a drag, which is in fact what it's become because of this attitude, and this is the reason why we've invented the atomic bomb and are preparing to commit suicide. Because we think we must happen. And to the degree that we think we must happen, we hate it. And are going to bring it to an end. And stop it. So I was about to say seriously, but I'm going to change my words and say sincerely. Suggest. You know, I'm not, in talking to you, I'm not preaching. I'm not actually serious, because I'm really with this rather than any kind of deep philosophy and so on. So I suggest to you sincerely, G.K. Chesterton once said that the angels fly because they take themselves lightly. How much more so then he, she, who is Lord of the Angels. The whole world is three for a penny, three for a pound, 'tis love that makes the world go round. Or in the words of Dante, but my own wings were not so fluttered, were not for such a flight, except that, smiting through the mind of me, there came fulfillment in a flash of light, that my volition now and my desires were moved like wheel revolving even by love that moves the sun in starry fire.